Book of John, the third chapter, we're going to be looking at the 30th verse, verse 30. Let's do something a little bit different this morning. Anybody like to do something different? All right. I like to do things different, change things up, not get stuck in the same old rut. Let's stand for the reading of the word. John 3, verse 30. This is John speaking, and he's speaking of Jesus. He says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Father, for your word, because your word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. And it's your word that guides us in that straight and narrow way that you desire us to walk. And it's your word that sets examples for our lives so that, Father, our lives would please you in all that we say and do. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and study your word together. And we ask, God, that your word just begin to get into every cell of our being, that it begin to change us and transform us into your image and likeness, so that when the world sees us, they do not see us, they see you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I've titled my message this morning, Stepping into the Shadow. This is what John was talking about when he saw Jesus coming, and he said that I must decrease, but he must increase. That's the way it should be for all of us all the time, that Jesus become more prominent in our lives, so that when we talk to people, when we're out in the world, when we're out in, especially in places where they don't believe, what they see is Jesus. And if what they see is Jesus, that gives us the opportunity to share the love of God with them, to share the saving grace of Jesus Christ, to share the ability to be set free from the bondages that we're into. They don't need to see just a better form of me. Amen? In fact, they'd be much better off if they didn't see me at all. But for a lot of people, they just want to become a better person. But it's not about becoming a better person. It's about stepping off into the shadow so that the light of Jesus shines forth so brightly that they don't see us. That doesn't excite anybody. That excites me. It excites me when I can think that just my presence brings Jesus into somebody else's presence. Amen? Anybody see yourself that way? As such an ambassador that when you walk into a place, you're bringing Jesus Christ? And see, if we do that, our world will change. Jesus' world changed. So if Jesus is the preeminent thing, our world will change. Amen? I want to take us to Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to start it. Verse 1, of course it'd help if I got over to verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whether he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, now this is Jesus talking to not the apostles, the disciples at the time, other 70 also. I want you to get that into your mind, into your spirit. Sometimes we think that the only people that did anything was the 12 apostles. And it was much more than just the apostles. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers unto his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, can you imagine standing there just a moment? Just close your eyes for a moment and picture yourself standing in front of Jesus, the Messiah, the one from heaven, and him telling you, I'm going to send you forth. I'm going to send you forth. And I'm going to send you forth into a dangerous place. I'm going to send you forth into the place where wolves devour the sheep. I'm going to send you to that place. How many of you think that would excite you? Might scare us a little bit, right? But this is Jesus talking. And you know, if Jesus sends us somewhere, he's going to equip us to do whatever it is he needs us to do. I want to drop down to verse 17. And the 70, now remember, how many did he send out? 70. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, now listen to this, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, does that excite you? That excites me. Even the devils are subject to us through your name. Now, understand that Jesus didn't send them out on their authority. He sent them out in his authority. Amen? He sent them out in his authority. And we have to understand that we are under and in the authority of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have all power that he's given us. But notice what else he says. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you. Who's he giving this to? Believers. Who's he giving this to? Come on, raise your hands. He's giving it to me, amen. He's giving it to you. He's giving it to all of us. Behold, I give unto you power. Oh, I love that word, power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Uh-oh. Don't rejoice in the fact that he's given us all power and that the demons are subject to us. But rejoice rather because your names are written in heaven. That's the absolute most important thing, is that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Amen. Anything else doesn't even compare. All the power, all the glory that we could possibly want or think about doesn't even compare. You know, our politicians today, boy, they fight for power, don't they? Oh, they fight for power. They want power. They want more power. Trouble is, they don't know what power, true power, really is. True power is being able to go out in the name of Jesus Christ and watch our world change. True power is being able to go out in the name of Jesus Christ and watch the chains fall off of someone who's bound in sin. Amen? That's true power. That's the power that Jesus says, I'm going to give you. And so if we get it out of our mind that it was only the 12 apostles, the disciples at that time, and realize that Jesus gave it to all that were following him, all the 70 that he appointed. Now, I know crowds of thousands followed him. We know that from Scripture. But it was probably these 70s that followed him closely and stayed with him during all the hard times and the times when things weren't going quite as well. Amen? But he's given us that power. And because we have that power, he commissioned us to go. I want to take us to Mark, the 16th chapter. I know we're all familiar with this verse, but I'm hoping that you will look at it just a little differently here. Come on. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said to them, he's talking about Jesus here now. This is what Jesus is telling those who are following him. Go ye. Now, he didn't say Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know. He said, go ye. In other words, all of you. All of you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to stop right there just a moment because we get hung up on this word preach. We look at this word preach and you immediately think of somebody up here at a pulpit preaching like I am right now. And this word preach really only means sharing the good news. It means like a herald that would call out. It's not becoming a pastor or a preacher, evangelist type. Is simply talking about sharing the word. And all of us can share the word. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Anybody in here believe? That was quiet. Anybody in here believe? Okay, there you go. Scare me a little bit. That's okay. You can yell. You can shout. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, I want to share with you this word believe. Because believe is a little bit more than just a cognitive acknowledgement that Christ came. In the Greek, this word believe is pisteuo, and it means to have faith. What does Hebrews tell us? Without faith, what? What? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? To have faith in or upon with respect to a person or thing, that is credit, by implication to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. I believe she got it up. Oh boy, that's right in the way. I'm sorry about that. It's more than just an acknowledgement in my head that Christ is who he says he is. It's an acknowledgement in my heart. And because it's in my heart, it means it's become a part of me. I now have faith. I have faith that I can get out of whatever I'm bound in, whatever sin has caught me and separated me from Jesus Christ, whatever sin has kept me in the binds of the devil. I can get out of that because now I believe. But it doesn't stop there. Now these are the words of Jesus to the whole group, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, who are them that believe? Am I of them that believe? Are you of them that believe? These signs shall follow you. What did Jesus say I'm going to give you? Power. And because I have that power, these signs are going to follow me. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but I want you to think about something. If these signs are not following me, do I believe? Ooh, Pastor, you're starting to meddle now. It's a question I ask myself all the time. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now the word signs here in the Greek is the word semion, and it means an indication, especially ceremonial or supernaturally, a miracle, sign, a token, or wonder. Especially a supernatural miracle, sign, token, or wonder. We wonder why the apostles had such growth within their midst. It's because signs followed. You're not getting as excited as I get. We want to have true power. Start believing that these signs are going to follow me. Start believing what the Word says. It's as simple as that. You know, I've had people say, well, I don't want to pray for the sick because they may not get healed. Newsflash. It's not your job to heal them. It's your job to pray for them. God's the one that does the healing. If the miraculous sign doesn't happen right then, it's not my fault. Because I got nothing to do with it. All I do is pray. Fear has nothing to do with it. God is sovereign. He's going to do what he's going to do. And you know what? If he's going to heal someone, he's going to heal someone in spite of me. Amen? These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. I'm going to go out here in the name of Mark Hicks and I'm going to, no, not going to work that way. In my name they shall cast out devils. Woo! Yeah. Isn't that what the disciples came back and were all joyous about? All the 70 that came back and, woo, hey, those demons were subject to me in your name. Well, Jesus said it's going to happen more. It's going to happen to everyone that goes out and preach to them that believe. Now, I don't know about, I'm so happy that the Bible doesn't say that the only ones this is going to happen with are special apostles. But to all those that believe, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, I'm not one that wants to go down into the southeast somewhere and start picking up the rattlesnakes and seeing if I've got sin in my life. I'll leave that to them. But if I do happen to have it happen, where I have to pick up a serpent, or if I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Do you understand the power that Jesus Christ is giving the believers? If our politicians could get a grasp of this, they'd all be Christians. They'd all be saying, "Whoop, I want that." Because that's what they all seek after, right? It won't hurt you. You know, we fear so much about what's going to happen to us. And Jesus is promising me it's not going to hurt me. Might kill me. Hear what I'm saying. It might kill me. So what? What did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Hey. Told my doctor here a while back. He's saying, "Well, your blood sugar is getting a little better or a little higher. I want to put you on this medication and this medication and this medication." I said, whoa, stop a minute. I said, "Have you ever looked at all the side effects on what you're asking me to take?" I said, "I'm not interested." "Well, you could have a heart attack." And I said, "Yeah, I could. And I ain't scared of it because I know where I'm going to go." And I started telling him about Jesus. Because I ain't scared of it. It may kill me, but it's not going to hurt me. Because the only way it can hurt me is to take me out of the presence of Jesus. And there's nothing going to take me out of the presence of Jesus. I want to take us to Acts, the 5th chapter. Acts 5, starting at verse 11. Now this is the apostles going out. They're going to different places. And listen to this. "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Now this particular instance, Ananias and Sapphira, they'd come in and they'd told the apostles, "Yep, we gave everything, you know, wanting to look spiritual and, oh, you know." And boom, Holy Spirit struck them dead. "And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." And listen to this. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." The power of God was alive and moving. Many signs and wonders were done. Why? Because the apostles believed and they just went out and did it. They stepped out of their own being and slid into the shadow of Jesus Christ and projected Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ was projected, they were working through His power and it just magnified. And because of that, thousands upon thousands of people were saved. But now, it wasn't just the apostles. I want to take us to the very next chapter, chapter 6. Listen to what happens here. We're probably all familiar with this story, but I want you to grasp the fullness of what is going on here. "And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied." Now, he's talking about disciples. When the number of disciples was multiplied, the church was growing, in other words, "there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily menstruation." Now, Without going into a lot of history and what was going on here, you know, everything was brought to the disciples and they distributed as everyone had need. But it says here they were neglecting a group of individuals that believed. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. So then the pastors called the church together. Okay? Think of it that way. And said, it is not reason, or this isn't the right thing to do, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now they're not saying we're better than you. They're just saying we've got an important task to do, and you guys can help us do this. That makes sense? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who you may appoint over this business. What business? Waiting tables, making sure the distribution, that everyone is taken care of, right? But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. He's a lot of different people from different walks of life, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great many company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now listen to this next verse, because it's very important. And Stephen, full of faith and what? Power did what? Great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen just simply believed God. He allowed the power of God to begin to transform him and change him. And he just did mighty miracles, signs and wonders, the same as the apostles. Why? Because he believed. And that ought to excite you, because you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be one of the 12. It's never gone away. It is for every one of us that believe. And if every one of us believe would just allow Jesus and the power of Jesus to flow through us. But see, then we read the next few verses and we see what happened to Stephen, because he allowed the power to flow through him. It caused a few people to get jealous. They didn't like it. Well, they were jealous of Jesus, weren't they? Didn't bother Stephen any. If you want to be jealous of me, that's fine. Go ahead. Not going to change what I'm going to do. If we could just understand that it's the power of Jesus flowing through us, it's the power of God, the same power that God gave to Jesus, Jesus gave to us, and allow that. Hey, it doesn't matter if we just pray. What did John say this morning? If we pray and believe, we should have what we say right then and now. The trouble is, we just don't believe it strong enough. We think, well, maybe if possibly, if could be Jesus. No. You see, if we allow the Holy Spirit to cause us to step back into the shadow and allow the light of Jesus to shine, we will see things happen that will just totally blow our mind. We'll see the lame walk. We'll see the deaf hear. We'll see the dumb speak. We'll see the devils run in fear. We'll see those around us begin to shake off those chains that are holding them down. We'll begin to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in droves. I believe that. Poor Arby will be preaching 3 sermons a morning here. But we got to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to flow through us, folks. We got to get rid of this fear of sharing the Word of God. And we've got to begin to take to ourselves, hey, this is for me. Jesus gave this for me. I'm going to take us back to Luke 24th chapter. I'm not going to get through all this, but that's okay. You guys, you got what? I can stay for an hour? All right. I'll have one anyway, right? Luke, the 24th chapter, starting at the 45th verse. Then he opened he. Who's the he? Jesus, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Oh, man, if we just have our eyes opened and our hearts open to the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written. Jeanette talked about that last week. I talked about it a few weeks ago. Knowing the word, right? Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with timidity from me. Aha! Somebody's read it. Power! Until you be endued with power from on high. I can't stress that enough, that we need the power. How many of you remember that old song? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We need to get that in our spirits and start allowing it to rise up. So that when we see one of our relatives or friends that are sick with an infirmity, we have no qualms about laying hands on them and starting to pray. But somehow I think it has to do with me. It doesn't have a thing to do with me. It has everything to do with him and his power. I'm just a vessel it flows through. The same way when Jesus was on the earth, he was just the vessel it flowed through. But it was the same power. But he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with that power. Acts, the first chapter. Verse 8, here we go again. But, talking Jesus here, but You shall receive cowardice after the holy... Wrong version, amen. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, amen. It was all about the power of man. And the first need I have is salvation, amen. First need I have is salvation. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost part of the earth. How many have ever looked at Peter? Before and after his experience in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came upon him. He's talking about an amazing transformation. That's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. After you receive power, you will be my witnesses. Now, I might start stepping on some toes here, and if I do, I'm not sorry at all. You know, in the old time Pentecost, a lot of it was all about the jumping and the shouting and the dancing and the goosebumps and all the things that were outward physical, that became a spectacle. And that's not what the Holy Ghost is about. The Holy Ghost is about having the power to free individuals from their sicknesses, from their chains, from whatever binds them, from the sin that separates them from God. We'll take us to Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now we're told that there was 120 in another scripture. I didn't write it down. And it just totally left my mind here. I had it a minute ago. Somebody can find it for me and holler it out. That's fine. There were 120 in the upper room. And it says, when they were all with one accord in one place. Boy, would that be a miracle in itself. All in one accord. In other words, they were all together. They had unity in that place, right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon the apostles. Each of them, 120, each of them. So get it out of our mind that it was just the apostles. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. Anybody ever realize that the things of God confounds man? Wow, look what God just did. And they were all amazed. I think I went too far. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parmenians and Medes, Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia. Phygalia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. In other words, it wasn't just Jews, it was those who were converted to the Jewish belief. That's what a proselyte is, right? Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues and the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What in the world is going on here? World doesn't know the things of God. But Peter, my favorite guy. Peter's a lot like me. In case you didn't know, I'm one of those guys that jump in with both feet and then say, what's underneath? So a lot of times I don't think about the consequences before I do it. I just want to get it done, amen? But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. Now, this is what I was talking about Peter. The difference between receiving the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that makes you a witness. Before he did that, he stood in front of a couple young girls, young ladies, and said, I don't know Jesus. Remember that? Oh, no, I don't. In fact, he did it three times. I don't know Jesus. I don't know Jesus. Now we stand in a group of a whole lot more people after they killed him, with the danger being greatly multiplied. Here's Peter. Boy, he stands up and he's bold now. And he starts telling them, this is the promise that you read about in Joel. This is the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gave us before he left. This is the promise that is going to make us witnesses unto Judea and Jerusalem and the uttermost parts of the world. This is it, folks. This is the fulfillment of that promise. And he was standing in front of a giant crowd. Now, how many there were, I don't know, but 3,000 people got saved that day. So I know there was at least 3,000 people there. Amen? Anybody ready to stand up in front of 3,000 people and start preaching the word? Give me the opportunity, Lord. It's about being a witness. And the Holy Spirit is not about those goosebumps. It's not about the jumping and shouting. The Holy Spirit is about projecting Jesus Christ and Him crucified so that others would come to know Him as their personal Savior. Amen? Sometimes we get it all wrong, and that's okay. The Word's here to get us all right. Amen? Well, I'm not anywhere close to through with this, but that's okay. We're going to pick this up next week.